full of too many football podcasts, comes another football podcast. One man's quest to find the answers.
Okay, boys, let's go to work.
Now, live from Pine Grove Studio B, it's Let Me Be Frank with T. Frank.
Yes, Jason, I'm aware it was a dry heat. I was there. I understand the difference. Yeah, you know what the weirdest thing about it was, though? Like, when you're out west and you're from the east, I was getting random nosebleeds. Like, my nose would bleed, but when I blew my nose, a bit of blood. Who knew that the difference in 40% humidity would cause that? Sorry. Didn't know that was too much information. Hey, welcome to Let Me Be Frank. I'm T. Frank. We're not talking about my vacation out west. What we're going to talk about today is Caden Saunders. Supercharged receiver from Ohio who is shooting up the recruiting rankings. Has been blowing up while I was away out in the desert at a couple of camps this week. So we're going to take a full look at his junior season film. See what he's good at. See what he isn't good at. Spoiler alert, there's not a lot he's not good at. And then, of course, we're going to take a look at something else that broke last week and early this week, which is, could an NFL team be playing at Beaver Stadium? And as much as I want them to, it's not, I don't think it's going to happen. So we'll talk about that in a little bit here on Let Me Be Frank.
This is Let Me Be Frank.
Penn State football fans have been following the career of Caden Saunders with almost bated breath for a while. The four-star receiver from Ohio has been on a meteoric rise up recruiting services and has exploded recently during the recruiting circuit, dominating a couple of camps in the last week or so, threatening to be a top 100 player in the class of 2022. Fully committed to Penn State, has shut down his recruiting, so let's take a look at what the receiver from Ohio does well, some areas of development, and spoiler alert, there aren't many of those. The first thing you notice is a trend for Penn State receivers is, oh, shocker, he's really fast. And not only is he really fast, like there are a lot of fast receivers, it looks different on film. And despite how much I hate cliches, it applies to Caden Saunders because he is a difference maker from the vertical slot position as a guy who can just run by people. And when you see that on film, you wonder, is it the level of competition? Is it him? And when you hear that he ran a 4.31 in a camp this offseason, that tracks. That's what he is. He is a vertical slot threat who can blow by the competition. That is a huge asset heading into college. And I think it's not just the speed. You can see he moves well in space. So this is a guy who can set up defensive backs and knows how to use his speed to create yardage. And he's a situationally aware football player where he runs good routes and he forces the defense to be wrong by leveraging his skills. So that's a huge asset, is that not only is he a vertical threat and a super fast player, he's a good receiver. I think he combines a lot of skills into the receiver position with a frame that is unique in that he has long legs, so he eats up a lot of ground, and he can accelerate really well in, you know, downfield, but he's also a fluid athlete. So he's able to move in space and make people miss. And one of the things I appreciate about his game, and it takes a little while to really see, is the efficiency. He's not trying to juke out six players to get 5 yards. He makes moves and he gets upfield quickly. And that's the point. It's not that you make everybody miss and you score a touchdown on every play. Maximize the amount of yards you can get on any individual play. And he does that. He moves the sticks. He is able to move underneath efficiently and get as many yards as are there without wasting yardage or time. You know, the guys that could run backwards 3 yards to make somebody miss and then they get two out of it. That's not Caden Saunders. He's a smart football player. That's another key thing about his analysis, is that he played defensive back really well. I can see teams that would look at him as, with all that speed, with great situational understanding of what he's being asked to do at any position, not just receiver, but defensive back. I think he plays the line of scrimmage really well, and as you can see, when he gets the ball in his hands as a returner, that long leg speed just takes over. His work as a defensive back at the line of scrimmage leads me to believe he understands how to get off of press. So despite the fact he's not the biggest guy in the world, I think he's going to be able to, beat longer corners who are trying to press him at the line of scrimmage. And as you can see, he plays the catch point well. He's also the punter for his team. So this is a guy who not only is supremely talented, but his football intelligence is off the chart. He was asked to do a lot, being the kick returner, the punt returner, the punter, kick block, receiver, corner. He played a lot of snaps last year on film, and he played very well. Now, he is a sub-6-foot receiver, so there's the question of, is he the number one type? And what he does with the ball in the air kind of puts that to bed, where he is good at the catch point. He can go up, he can elevate for the football. I don't know that he maximizes his frame all the time. He could probably get a little bit better at extending and getting to the apex of where the football is and making it a completely uncontested catch, but he does all of it well. There are no holes. You would not look at this and say, he's not good with the ball in the air, because he is. Shows good red zone threat, feel for how to manipulate his body in the air. None of these are overwhelming traits, but to be fair, he was open a lot. There are not a lot of contested catches because he's 2 or 3 yards beyond most high school defensive backs. So in these situations with intentionally or underthrown balls by the receiver, by the quarterback, he does make those plays. Now, if there's one area that does need to get better, and has actually, one of the reasons he's been blowing up recently is that it has gotten better, is his functional play strength. So 5'11", he's listed at 160 pounds. I wouldn't be surprised if by the start of next season he's already at 170. He is not super explosive. And that is descriptive rather than that's a negative, because if you see, like we said, he's an efficient mover in space, but I don't know that he's an explosive, twitchy athlete that's going to run through contact super well. He gets the job done. That is not the question. It's, is this a complete profile? And the more strength he adds, the less he'll get knocked off his route, as you see there, and the more tackles he'll be able to break as a receiver. That's a critical factor, I think, for him, is in general, adding as much muscle mass and strength as possible to his frame is going to make him faster, which is crazy to think about, but he can get faster, and then a little more explosive in and out of his breaks, make him a little less linear. I think if there's one thing, he's a little bit linear. You can see when he tries to turn in short areas, because he's got those long legs, he still has quick feet, but he doesn't have that sort of Tyreek Hill explosiveness in the short area, Rondale Moore sort of slot receiver. Again, these are descriptive things. These are not negatives, because they're just different body types. They're different types of receiver. And the production and the efficiency of the play style that he has shows that he is a guy that can get the job done, and is a guy that, as we can see, has worked on this. This is from Ryan Snyder of Blue White Illustrated, a recent camp. You can see the vertical threat, the explosiveness has already improved. Here's some short area work where he's gotten more explosive. He's making more players miss with that sort of burst out of his break. Those are all really important things that he's worked on and shown that he can do. This route in particular shows how he can stop, decelerate, turn, get to the football. He's becoming a complete receiver. And that's what you're looking for from Caden Saunders, is just round out the profile. It's not that he's missing anything. Just work on those areas where you need to, be above average at everything. And that's where he is working to right now. So when you look at how he projects at the next level, I think the number one area he'll start is a vertical slot receiver who is a dangerous threat from the inside. But given his catch point, the fact that he's almost 6 feet tall, this is a guy that I think they can play anywhere. Boundary, slot, you can ask him to do a lot of things, and he's going to be able to do it. His career path might be a little bit like Jahan Dotson, where he starts in the slot, is a little bit undersized for a number one receiver, but as we saw from Jahan Dotson, it doesn't matter. When the ball's in the air, if that's your football and you have the ability to go get it, you can go get it. But the easiest comparison, and I don't do this a ton, making the actual comparison, I don't think that there's any question that Caden Saunders has a similar game to KJ Hamler. If you look at what he's able to do from the slot, his ability to get vertical and stress safeties with just dynamic speed. There's a lot of similarities where KJ Hamler, despite the fact that he was small, had that sort of long stride to eat up yards quickly, Caden Saunders is a taller version of that. So Penn State fans, that's what you're getting in Caden Saunders. You should be excited.
This is Let Me Be Frank.
Oh, this is awesome. I get once again to talk about the Bills on a Penn State podcast because there's news linking the two. So you probably heard late last week, early this week, that the Bills are planning on building a new stadium. There's a report out of a Rochester TV station that one of the places that they would play for the year of construction in like 2025 would be Beaver Stadium coming to Penn State. So could there be an NFL team playing in your backyard? I don't think it's very realistic. And we'll go through the pros and cons quickly to give you an idea from, again, somebody who is a Bills fan, how realistic it might be for them to make the trek to Happy Valley. We'll go through the pros. Terry Pegula is an obvious connection. He's already got his name on a building here on campus. He's the owner of the Bills and the Sabres. No duh, right? That's one of the reasons it's being talked about. The second part of that is obviously Beaver Stadium, which is both a pro and a con. Let's be honest. Beaver Stadium also needs to be renovated. Penn State's also talking about it. So it's not a state-of-the-art facility, but it is 107,000 seats. It does host primetime college games. It is an iconic stadium in sports lore. So that is a bonus, and it's also not unprecedented, as the Vikings played at the University of Minnesota for a little bit while they were building a new stadium. So a Big Ten school has hosted an NFL team for a season before. But that's a little different. It's in the same city. So the last part that I think is an obvious cross-pollination is tailgating. The Bills have one of the most iconic tailgating atmospheres in the NFL, which is, you've seen the videos, right? They would feel very at home in the fields around Beaver Stadium. Penn State has its own rich tailgating history and tradition. Those two things fit really well. Bills fans, I think, would be very happy about tailgating in State College. But the question is, can you get them here? Because again, it's not like Minnesota where they're in the same city. This is a 200-mile journey. And while that said, it's within the region, it's 200 miles. Not every 200-mile journey is the same. And Penn State fans, again, they're a regional fan base. They come from all over the state and the region. So Penn State fans make the 3.5-hour journey from Philadelphia, from New York, the 3-hour journey from Maryland, from York, Harrisburg, Pittsburgh. It goes to my theory that everywhere in the universe is just 3.5 to 4 hours from State College. I mean, technically Mars is only a couple hours away. So yes, it's within that radius, but the drive is completely different. Not every 4-hour journey is made the same. It's hard to get from Buffalo to State College. And remember, I'm the foremost expert on what's in between, which is nothing. There's no main thoroughfare that gets you directly between the two. And in general, it is hard to get to State College. It's not like hopping on 322 from the aforementioned Harrisburg and York and getting up here. You've got to make a commitment. It's a long, hard drive from upstate New York. The second thing is that the Bills fan base is just like Penn State's fan base, and they're regional. So you got people coming from Rochester and from Ontario, the other place that the Bills have been might be able to play during this year that they would be away from Orchard Park. That is more realistic that they'll play in Toronto because a large portion of their fan base is already there instead of asking to import everybody from that area. Do you think you're going to get 107,000 Bills fans every weekend to come down for games? That's a risk I don't know that Bills brass want to take. So in reality, and the last thing is, and this ties into Penn State recruiting, you can't fly directly from State College to Buffalo because you can't fly directly from State College to a lot of places. It's one of those things. It's hard to get to State College compared to other places. James Franklin mentions this in recruiting. By the way, one of the areas that you can fly directly from State College is Detroit, if you're wondering why they are so successful getting the number of recruits from Michigan. Not only is Terry Smith a good recruiter in that area, it's also easy to get there compared to other places. So, is there an NFL team that's going to play at Beaver Stadium in the near future? I would put the percentage chance at 5%.